Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Fidel. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Well, thank you so much, Audrey. Once more, you get us linked up to all this technology where we can broadcast worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Network and the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm your host, Keith Haley, and we want to thank Johnny Cash again for singing that marvelous song. And if he's in that truck tonight, I think he should be asking that driver to head south, because up where we live in Northwest Ohio, I think we're heading for 14 or 15 below zero tonight in the nation. Somebody sent me a map today, a little joke map, about the temperatures all over the United States, probably 40 or 50 temperatures in each state, various cities and towns. And I think most of them by far tonight were minus in the United States. So stay warm, everybody. Mike and Emily, thanks very much for joining us again tonight and for your part in getting our news stories ready for us. And what we're doing here tonight is what we usually do. We're trying to discuss some events, news, issues, and developments in the always difficult and interesting and inspiring field of criminal justice. And sometimes that's actually humorous, the practice of criminal justice. Our show is dedicated to those energetic police, court, corrections, and juvenile justice professionals that provide us protection throughout the United States and indeed throughout the world. What we try to do here is look inside criminal justice practice and take a close-up look at its professionals as they work. And we're doing this, of course, on the magic of Blog Talk Radio. I was just looking at the site a little bit tonight before we got logged on and everything, and I'm seeing the names of people that you would recognize that are getting their own shows. My gosh, it's one person right after the other. I think the Pentagon now has a Blog Talk Radio Network radio show, and I've been saying organizations should really take advantage of this, because what's possible? It means that any person, any interest group, any organization can have their own show, and they can broadcast live and streaming audio over the internet worldwide to an unlimited number of listeners. It makes no difference how many there are or where they live in the world. If they have a computer or a cell phone, as a matter of fact, they can hear the show. Yes, you can actually hear your phone. You can hear the show on a cell phone, and you can do, I don't know how many hours a week, but I think some of these fitness trainers and people that have shows on there, some psychologists and counselors, they have shows every day, so it's possible to do that. So if you don't like what we do here and you tune in for just a few moments, like that motto on the back of the cheese box or that sales pitch, get your own get your own box where you can get your own show, and it's a marvelous enterprise. And of course, Blog Talk Radio Network is now included in one of the top 100 websites in the world. That's along with Google and a lot of Facebook and a lot of other sites that you are very familiar with. Tonight we're going to do something not that different, but different than last week. What we're going to do this week, this is our third show on firearms, and we're doing that for a very special purpose. And I'll be reading and commenting on a news story tonight relative to the sale of firearms in the last this past November and December, this past month. And I imagine that's continuing through January. But they have never, the sales increases of firearms, both long guns and short guns, pistols, has never been greater, the increase for those months. And I'll save my comments to later about that, but there's something humorous that's been awarded to someone who we will recognize. But anyway, that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk about firearms, but we're going to try to focus on self-defense. And there are some good websites that contain information. I'm not going to play a lot of audio tonight. I don't have a guest for us this evening. But what we're going to do that I know of, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of this good content about scientific studies and facts about firearms and self-defense that we can find in some of these marvelous websites by gun rights advocates and owners. And some of them are very sophisticated websites. It's not just the NRA, which their site is fantastic. Of course, they broadcast their own news every night live. I don't know if people know that, but you can actually tune in and listen and watch NRA news being reported on that particular show. So we think it'll be pretty good. If you want to call in, if you're a listener, you can call in at 347-996-5983, 347-996-5983. And of course, I don't know if anybody's done it that's called us before, but you can push in that little button, I think that little mic right on the show website, and that plugs you right into the switchboard. And that's just like if we're using the telephone, I can hear you and we can talk. So we'll do that. All these shows, by the way, are archived about 5 to 10 minutes after they're all done. So when you go onto the website for my show, for example, Jumble Justice, you'll see the last 4 or 5 shows that are right in front of you. You can and you can play those back. You can store them and play them on your own. And we know that some faculty instructors around various parts of the country have taken up to this idea. And I think a couple of them have developed their own sites now since I presented a paper about this just about a year ago in Cincinnati. Most people didn't know anything about Blog Talk Radio Network, and I'm still surprised how little is known about it when it has become so famous. Well, Audrey, I think you're really smiling tonight. I think you have a Bond joke for us. That's one that I like. I took a little sneak peek at it tonight, and I think the folks are really going to enjoy this one. So go ahead. Let's see what this one's about. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have never joined us before, Audrey England is from London, England. And she's been a collector of Bond jokes her entire life. And she has trunks and drawers and computer files full of Bond jokes and more than stored on the internet, probably. And here's one of her treasures coming up right now. Go ahead, Audrey.
Professor Haley, the Bond joke for tonight has to do with car repair and some dents from a hailstorm. I know that you used to live in Oklahoma and hailstorms are not that unusual there. Here it is. A blonde was driving home after work and got caught in a really bad hailstorm. Her car was covered with dents, so the next day she took it to a repair shop. The shop owner saw that she was a blonde, so he decided to have some fun. He told her to just go home and blow into the tailpipe really hard, and all the dents would pop out. So, the blonde went home, got down on her hands and knees, and started blowing into her car's tailpipe. Nothing happened. She blew a little harder, and still nothing happened. Her roommate, another blonde, came home and said, "What are you doing?" The first blonde told her how the repairman had instructed her to blow into the tailpipe in order to get the dents to pop out. Her roommate rolled her eyes and said, "Get real, my dear friend. Silly, you need to roll up the windows."
She wasn't doing any good with the windows down. All right, very good. Thank you very much, Audrey. And on a much more serious note, ladies and gentlemen, we want to assist the Ohio Coalition Against Firearms to get their public service message out to everyone. We've been doing this since we started the radio show, and I think it's an important message. What they would like to have people do is turn in their firearms, and I'm sure this message is directed toward the street criminal. Even with crime down in the first half of this past year, the data's in, the crime is down, but we know that there are criminals out there with firearms, and we'd like for them to turn them in, and we hope this message falls on the correct ears and they take the appropriate action.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Well, thank you very much, Ohio Coalition, and certainly it is a deadly idea. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and take a look at some of our news stories tonight. We have quite a few here we could talk about. I won't spend all evening on them, but some of them relate to firearms issues, and some of them actually don't. But it's a very interesting news time. And I thought, you know, every now and then we sort of poke a little fun at the planet sustainability movement. And I suppose tonight might not be a bad night. If we've got some global warming, I think there's a lot of folks around the United States like to see some at this particular point in time. But Madison, Wisconsin has done something that I think most of us will think is kind of unusual. They've got some things planned. You know, Madison is not a farm part of Wisconsin. It's a university, that type of thing, kind of life. And somebody said it's politically left of center, certainly, probably the city that's that far left, aside from Berkeley, California. But a very nice place. I've been there a number of times for sure. But they're proposing some things about planet sustainability. This is the agenda for their city council on what they want to do is to meet the demands of climate change, and they want to use zoning to address or mitigate effects or to adapt to climate change and remove any barriers to mitigating the effects and adapting to climate change. They're talking about trees, green space, mobility, renewable energy, and land use. And some of these are very interesting ideas. The code will allow the city to function when automobile travel will be severely limited and oil-related products, including food and heating fuel, become prohibitively expensive because of the scarcity and high cost of fuel. So they're thinking this is all going to come to a head, and our fuels are essentially going to disappear, and they want to have the authority to do something about it. But in the meantime, they're trying to do something in the way of what they can in order to minimize the emission of carbon dioxide into our atmosphere. Here's some of the things they're going to do. They're going to limit waterfront development in the name of water sustainability. Interesting idea. I'm not exactly sure how that manifests itself, but they're going to require two trees to be planted if one is removed from your property. So if you decide for one reason, or maybe a tree goes down for some blown down tornado, which is not that unusual in southern Wisconsin or mid Wisconsin, you're going to have to plant two in its place. That will actually be required by city ordinance. They're going to limit the number and density of fast food outlets in drive-through windows in the name of public health. In other words, they're going to try to limit you from getting that Whopper. Isn't that amazing? I can't imagine a more caring city where they're going to cut down the number of fast food outlets, both by number and density, and then stop the drive-through windows. It's a long story, but I was in another city up in the Northeast that actually did not have. I kept looking for the Burger King and the McDonald's drive-through windows. There weren't any because they thought it was unfair to other businesses who didn't have the space to do that. How's that for free enterprise? But anyway, they're going to discourage individual parking options to promote public transportation. So instead of looking for more parking places for people so they can visit downtown Madison, which is a lovely place to see, they're going to limit the parking options so that you will take public transportation in the place of private transportation. Very, very interesting. We'll have to see what happens in Madison to actually do that. You know, the United States Supreme Court just ruled on a case that was interesting. Most everybody that listens to our show, as sort of an insider in the criminal justice field, knows what the exclusionary rule is. And we're the only nation in the world that excludes illegally obtained evidence on the part of the police from a court proceeding. And it's a long story how we got there, but the Fourth Amendment is key to our rights, and we try to protect our Fourth Amendment protections, which have to do with the search and seizure, search for and the seizure of property, and of course also the arrest. But what they ruled on Wednesday was a case where the police went and they had a warrant for a guy, and they took some methamphetamines and a gun were found after Benny D. Herring, an Alabama man, was arrested based on police officers' mistaken belief that he was subject to an outstanding warrant. And this was a neighboring county's police department that hadn't updated their files, so this warrant was not active, but they arrested him thinking that it was. And in the process, they found methamphetamines and a gun. And what happened in this case, I think this was a close vote, they decided that this was an exception that they would allow. In other words, it was sort of a bona fide, the police were making a bona fide arrest and related search to an arrest based on the fact that they thought they had a legitimate warrant when in fact they didn't. And I know Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the other side of this issue, she said, this shouldn't be, but what Roberts was suggesting, the Chief Justice, is all be sort of a sliding scale on a cost-benefit type of analysis. In other words, how harmful is this actually going to be in terms of being a key or a symbol or a door open to the police to go out and violate people's Fourth Amendment rights more often? And most there on the court, or at least Roberts doesn't believe that that's the case, but they didn't. But that's an extension. The police aren't troubled by the exclusionary rule anymore. In the 60s, they complained a lot about it, said it handcuffed them, and of course, numerous decisions came down between 1960 and 1968 that did, in essence, make police work more difficult. But the police had also been warned for decades about some of the things that they were doing. And most people realize that the Bill of Rights into the U.S. Constitution are originally only restricted officers and agents of the federal government. In other words, if your rights were violated, whatever they might be, free speech or search and seizure, legal counsel, whatever, that depended on the state and what they did, because the Bill of Rights only applied to the federal court system and federal officers. Then on a case-by-case basis, after we got the 14th Amendment and the Due Process Clause, they used that clause to say, well, look, Michigan, Ohio, or Idaho, you can no longer violate this U.S. citizen's rights in your state, even in the state system. We're just not going to do that. So the Due Process Clause made these clauses in the Bill of Rights on a case-by-case basis apply to the states. Now we're down to the point where probably there are about 24, 25 rights in the Bill of Rights, and about three apply. For example, you don't have a right to be indicted by a grand jury. You don't have a constitutional right to bail, by the way, so bail can be denied. But you know all the others. So it was an interesting case, and here's the slippery slope scenario where there's a law professor here in the article that says this may be a line open for the police where they'll continue more and more to violate people's rights, but I doubt that. I didn't finish what I started to say a while back, and only about 3 or 4% of the cases are evidence that's tossed out in police based on their Fourth Amendment rights. So them violating the Fourth Amendment rights of people. So they've learned to live with the exclusionary rule, but we are the only nation in the world that, as a famous justice once said a long time ago, we're the only nation in the world that lets the criminal go because the constable blundered and made a mistake. And there, of course, are two kinds of mistakes, mistakes of the head and mistakes of the heart. And sometimes the cops don't know what to do because it's a new situation. That's one of the things that makes sense. Police work interesting and thrilling, and that's why legal uptake training is a common part of police in-service training, because the law is always changing. So anyway, it's an interesting case, and We'll see if it is in fact one that will change over time. A couple other news stories I want to comment here before we get to some of the meat of the show on our topic. We just finished a big study. 49 state attorneys general took a look at the problem of sexual solicitation of children online, and they've concluded in the study that there really is not a significant problem here. In other words, they're not really a major threat to children. I would have thought the opposite. I've seen it demonstrated where somebody will get in a chat room and pose as a 12-year-old. I guess there's a TV show that goes out and catches people. Yeah, NBC's show, they mention it here, is called To Catch a Predator series. And these predators jump out all over the place. But they're saying that's not a problem. What they're more worried about, they said, the problem of bullying among children, both online and offline, poses a far more serious challenge than the sexual exploitation of children. I've known some people who've done some writing about the subject of bullying in many ways. Maybe I could get somebody on the show some night to talk about that. I really don't understand the concept that well. I guess if you keep bothering someone, I guess now that's called bullying, and if you punch them out or something like that, that's not only assault, but it falls into this category of bullying. But I guess I go back to the Leave It to Beaver days where, Dad told him we'd go back and clobber him. But I guess we can't say things like that nowadays. But anyway, it's interesting that the sexual exploitation of children on the Internet is not a problem, and I think they're going to get some reaction to the study. The results were just released. This is a story January 14th, 2009, so we'll have to see what happens. I'd be interested in your comments about that. Do you actually think that bullying is a problem? We have a commentator here on the line, somebody calling in. Let's go ahead and check with this person and see what they have to say. Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, Mr. Haley?
Yes, this is Haley. Who is this?
This is Rick.
Okay, well, how about that, Rick? Well, thank you for joining us tonight. Our show tonight is about firearms, the whole idea of self-defense and why people buy firearms for those reasons and that sort of thing.
Well, I thought it'd be interesting if I called tonight because I'm 48 years of age, never had a gun in my mom and dad's house ever. She just didn't believe in them, and never really been around guns. And I just decided to buy my first shotgun, actually, a Browning shotgun, 12-gauge, at the end of November of 2008, the first time I've ever purchased a gun. And I went to, but I bought that at the Cabela's in Michigan.
Well, those are three. That's one of the large. I've been to that establishment two or three times, mm-hmm. and I'm astounded at the number of guns that are there.
Yeah, and then I proceeded to. I wanted to buy something for my home, and then I proceeded to think. Well, I would like another one, and so I went and purchased a handgun, and a Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum. Mm-hmm. And purchased that from a Bass Pro Shop. And that was purchased in December of 2008.
Huh.
And then I thought you might be interested in knowing, because I mentioned that I'm 48 years of age. This is the first time I've ever purchased a gun.
Have you fired a firearm before?
I've never owned a firearm in my life.
Is that right? Okay.
Have I ever fired one, did you ask?
Okay. Uh-huh.
I did when I was a kid at the YMCA. They had BB gun competition. Cool. I did pretty well.
BB gun, all right.
Yeah, that was when I was little. But this is the first time, and maybe you're curious as to why all of a sudden I waited till 48 years of age to purchase a handgun and a shotgun.
What is the reason for that?
Well, the reason, I'm just going to be straight up with you, is because of Barack Obama being elected as president and the threat that he... rumor has it that he's going to try to attack the Second Amendment. And I want to also mention to you at that time when I joined the NRA around in November, and mm-hmm. purchased three NRA memberships for my relatives. Mm. And then it didn't end there. After I purchased the shotgun and the 357 Magnum, I decided that before it's too late, I had better go to the classes, the 12-hour classes, to get my CCW license, and I've completed that.
I see, the carry concealed weapon license. Uh-huh.
Yes, I've completed that, and tomorrow I will be going to the Sheriff's Department to submit my application, and I understand it could take anywhere from about 1 week to 3 weeks for them to check out my background, and I will have my CCW license.
So in Ohio, that's like part two, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's part two, and this was all done within a matter of 2 months.
Outstanding, huh?
From never owning anything to actually now almost having a CCW license.
Mm-hmm. And I think the number of CCW licenses continue to grow. I've got a whole stack of news stories here tonight that I would never be able to get to all of them. But before I ask you some additional questions, would you mind if, and I'd be interested in your comments here, President-elect Obama has already won an award.
Is that right?
Yes, relative to the subject we're talking about, Outdoor Wire magazine has named President-elect Barack Obama the Gun Salesman of the Year.
Oh, I understand they're up 40% in sales.
It was up like 47%. I mean, 42% in November of 2008 and 24% in December. And now in January, it's continuing to rise. And they've never had an increase like that.
Unbelievable. And so this has to be good for the economy.
Right. And that's exactly what this thing, there's no business slump in the firearms industry. And they're talking here that these companies, the manufacturers, are months behind in their delivery of semi-automatic pistols,
uh-huh.
AR rifles, anything that's called high-capacity magazines. They're just way, some of them are months behind. Isn't that incredible?
It's incredible, and I'm just happy to see it. I saw an older woman, probably about 70 years of age, with her son at the one store, and she was purchasing a semi-automatic as well. And I think it's great that there's going to be a lot more people carrying concealed weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great because now criminals are going to catch wind that there's going to be average citizens out there that are going to be carrying. Maybe they'll think twice about committing a crime.
And the keepandbeararms.com website lists news articles on a weekly basis. I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens where they chronicle the use of firearms and legitimate use of firearms and self-defense. I was going to look at some of those tonight, and if you could stay with us, we could even talk about them. But the sales thing is just absolutely incredible on how many of these. You know what's happened with alcohol, tobacco, and firearms?
What's that?
Their form, this form is called Form 4473, that for the first time in history that their supplies have run so low, they're letting the gun dealers make copies of them and use them for the application.
Unbelievable.
And they've done that before.
Hmm.
Isn't that incredible?
Yes.
ATF is this organization that used to keep their records in a shoebox.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding. They used to keep boxes and shells in West Virginia. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that. One thing about that's nice about the CCW license, concealed carry license, is that they allow you to go to the sheriff either in your county, as you know, and or adjacent county. So I think that's nice.
Right. Yeah. And what would be the reason to go to an adjacent county?
I know a lot of people in my community, and I know several other of the counties that I know people in. I decided to choose a county whereby nobody knows me, simply because, just I don't know why, but they do list the names of all the concealed carry license holders, and I thought, well, wouldn't that be nice to just have my name listed in the adjacent county that nobody knows me?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things this article mentions, and then I'd like to ask you more about your shopping experiences, but one of the things the article mentions is they're now claiming that there is something they're calling the Obama effect.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other time we ever had any type of rapid buying like this, but it wasn't even at this rate, was during the Y2K crisis. Remember that? It's funny because I bought a collector's firearm piece during that crisis, a computer programmer. It was going all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And told me, remember, I'd done that research project and published that article, book chapter on Ice-T.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was a gangster gun, the Tech 9, and I bought one of these things real cheap, and I think the price has actually tripled since I've never fired it. In fact, it's never been fired, but it's sort of a collector's gun now. But the Obama effect has really caused this, and what people are saying that one of the fears that they say, or one of the things they mentioned that says that the fears are not unfounded, is that they've looked at Obama's record, and he has literally voted on the side of every anti-gun measure that ever came before him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't checked that out by detail, but they're saying everyone that he's had a chance to vote in Illinois or in the Senate, he's voted on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that's kind of interesting. Do you know guns are good for the environment?
How is that?
Yeah, the Pittman-Robertson Act provides the vast majority of funding for wildlife agencies at the federal, state, and local levels.
Hmm.
And that money comes directly from tax levied against gun owners.
Hmm.
Damaging the firearm industry would just put workers in the gun business out of work. It will not only that, it will severely impact wildlife and conservation efforts. Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting. I did one too for some of your listeners, too. I don't know if they'd be interested, but some I did not realize this. But even the NRA, the application to become a member is $25 a year. And then there's another organization out there called AskHeritage.org that has a lot of information out there. That costs $25 a year as well. They give a lot of good information.
Right.
On guns.
Yeah, there's some good sites on the web. Well, when you went out shopping, this first place you went to, I assume these places were crowded. Is that right?
Oh, I could not believe it, and it was on a Monday. It was when people were at work. It was after the. I believe I bought that after the. Yes, I bought it after Christmas. So it was on a Monday, when people were at work. It was not a holiday. I thought if I went on a Monday when it wasn't the holiday, that there would be nobody there. When I was, like I mentioned, at Cabela's in Michigan, it was packed. The entire parking lot was packed. I couldn't even find a parking space, and you know how big that place is.
Right.
When I went to the Bass Pro Shop, that was packed as well. And so it was just amazing the wait that you had. I actually had to wait, take a ticket. I probably had to wait about a half an hour until I was able to see a sales clerk behind the gun, case.
Yeah, incredible. Huh.
Unbelievable. It was packed.
I talk to a lot of people, a lot of people and students who don't even realize, because they're not outdoors type people and they don't, practice firearms and marksmanship and that type of thing, and they have no idea that these big stores have that many firearms.
Unbelievable. They had everything you wanted.
I mean, I was amazed to see at Cabela's and the Bass Pro Shop the variety of firearms. I could. And then I saw a guy go pick up. I've never had one in my hand in my life, but I saw a guy walk over and pick up a crossbow, and come to pay for it at the counter. And I thought this crossbow would, I walked over and looked at him. And in my mind, I'm thinking $95, maybe $120, something like that. Pretty nice, rugged looking thing. The one he picked up was
$675. $675.
And there was one on the rack that was over $1,100.
Oh, my.
A crossbow.
Expensive.
And
you can get yourself a nice gun, though, for relatively cheap, actually.
I assume crossbow people, I am really naive about this, but I assume crossbow people go hunting with those, right?
Absolutely, yeah. That's just an art, they...
deer hunters or something, and... I guess it just flips that arrow out at high speed, and I don't know how far, but it's kind of interesting. We know a couple of other studies have just come out here, Rick, if you're interested in it. One of the new studies shows that police fatalities for 2008, fortunately, are down again,
mm-hmm.
and this proves that CC laws are no threat to cops. And remember, when we were trying to get the CCW law in Ohio, we had police, first of all, the chiefs of police resisted it. They thought it would be dangerous to cops. It's absolutely patently false. Mm-hmm. People do not go get a right to carry license, go through background checks and training, and pay the expense to go out and shoot a police officer. That's not who they're worried about. So fortunately, deaths are down they're down 40% from 68 who died in 2007, which is good, and there's never been a case. More of course, officers die every year in traffic accidents. More officers died last year in traffic accidents than in shootings. But it's not CCW holders. To my knowledge, I don't know of one ever in the whole United States now out of hundreds of thousands of license holders that has ever shot a police officer. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of one?
No, I have not ever heard of one.
I've never heard of that either, and I can't understand how, somebody, in fact, I wrote somebody in our chief of police here when this thing was going, because it took Ohio, about 3 years in the legislature to get this thing going. And the chiefs of police were against it, and they put out a ridiculous statement that was full of such untruths, I couldn't believe it. They finally turned around, and that's the same thing that's happened in most states. Line-level cops are generally for these laws. Mm-hmm. But the administration, the top levels, like IACP and places like that, they were against them. But mm-hmm. I would never call them actual leaders in the field as such. They're pretty much followers. But so we can say that. Another study just came out, and this was done by the University of Michigan and the University of Maryland. Not too bad of places, right, in terms
no.
of scholars. And they came out and they found out that gun shows do not boost homicides and suicides in communities. And they looked at 3,400 gun shows. They looked at two states, Texas and California, and they found out that there was no change. In fact, some of these things went down after these gun shows. But they looked at gun shows like a month following. The murder and suicide rates in the month following gun shows. And they have concluded that about 1% of street criminals, thugs, buy a gun at a gun show.
Hmm.
You know, why would you want to buy a gun at a gun show when you can go to the streets of Cleveland or St. Louis or Atlanta and probably find one in about 4 minutes illegally, right?
Yeah.
the so-called gun show loophole is really kind of a stupid thing. And, I did that big study of 7 gun shows, 6 in Texas and 1 in Oklahoma. And, the people I saw there, I went there on Sundays. These gun shows were off on Saturday and Sunday, of course. You know, people came right out of church with their kids dressed up in a suit and that type of thing. And they were just decent people who liked the outdoors, walking around and participating, having dinner there, after church and that type of thing. And I didn't see anybody, not one time in any one of these places. And we spent at least 4 hours at each one of them, longer than that, I think, in some of them. And I saw nobody that would even approach the appearance of, a street thug or whatever, given, the way they were dressed and that sort of thing. But there was a lot of interest in firearms. They were just real enthusiasts in that field. So the gun show thing has been blown apart now. So we hope that some of the things can continue. You got time for a little humor?
Oh, sure.
Okay. There's a guy here that's written an article, and he has called this, hold on just a second, I'll get it for you. He has called this 40 Reasons. Still working. 40 Reasons to Support Gun Control. We probably can't go through all 40, but I thought you would find this this interesting, and our listeners would find it interesting. Because the incidents were here, it's amazing what one has to believe in gun control, he says. But here's 40 reasons to believe in gun control. It says the incidents where people shoot criminals in self-defense are very rare and shouldn't be used as excuses to own guns, such as incidents where presidential press secretaries are shot are very rare and shouldn't be used as excuses to ban guns. The second one, he says, the guns are the real cause of crime, but we will blame and jail the owner of said gun for the crime, even if the owner wasn't the person involved. He said that a mugger will kill you in the half second it takes to draw from the holster, but won't harm you while you dial 911 on your cell phone, talk to the dispatcher, and wait an hour and a half for the cops to arrive. The gun control works, which is why there are no illegal weapons in Northern Ireland or Beirut. Yeah. But the Second Amendment only applies to flintlocks, just as the First Amendment only applies to quill pens and lead type. That the proper response to an attack is to call the police, but only unarmed police, because violence never settles anything. That's good. He says that it's wrong to make snide, sexist comments about women, unless the comments are about women who own guns.
Yeah.
There's a lot of truth to that, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the women right to carry types really take a beating in the what I would call the liberal press, that's for sure. That a gun with an 11-round magazine is dangerous, but a gun with 15 10-round magazines is much safer. Right. We should rehabilitate criminals and treat them as people, but never let them own guns, even if their crime was nonviolent. That a hijacker could easily take a gun away from a pilot, but the hundreds of passengers aboard would then be unable to take the gun away from the hijacker. How about this one? That if there had been a gun aboard American Airlines Flight 93, someone could have been hurt.
as opposed to being killed.
Yes, right. That pilots have enough to do in the cockpit without having to worry about distractions like firearms to stop hijackers and fire extinguishers to stop fires. And these activities should be left to trained professionals. These trained professionals would only be available on 1 in 5 flights. You know, the whole flight marshal thing, I forget what the data is now on that. I believe the number's even decreased over a period of time, but your chances of running into a sky marshal are very slim. Here's one, that rapists prefer to attack armed women so they can take the guns and use them against the victims. Right. Mm. That one firearm in 10,000 will commit an act of violence in his or her, or firearm owner will commit an act of violence in his or her lifetime. And this is far more frightening than to 25% of drivers who will cause a serious or fatal accident. You know, accidents are up again. I mean, that, you know, you talk about police services and their resources, how they're deployed. And some agencies, even large agencies, put very few people in the traffic, relatively speaking, in the traffic section.
Hmm.
You know, there are lots of, you know, we're killing over 40,000 people a year, every year, in automobiles, and there can be something done about. That car keys, umbrellas, and hairspray are good tools for self-defense, despite the fact that police continue to carry guns. Right. Here's another fun thing. But Washington, D.C.'s low murder rate of 80.6 per 100,000 is due to strict gun control. But Arlington, Virginia's high murder rate of 1.6 per 100,000 is attributed to lack of gun control. That is amazing, the D.C. people. But it's, you know, the guy goes on and talks about more of these things, but that's interesting. What was the most startling thing or biggest discovery you found in the three or four places that you went shopping for firearms? What was a surprise to you as a relatively novice to the gun world?
For me, being the first time actually even a step foot into either a Cabela's or a Bass Pro Shop, first time ever, and uh-huh. I did go for my CCW license training at a Gander Mountain, so I've been to three. And then I also did visit one that was more of a privately owned one, not a nationally known one.
Right.
But I have to admit, I just couldn't believe the number of guns that they had on hand available. And the most surprising thing was the number of people that were at the gun store. Just clamoring over one another, and you almost wanted to keep your spot. In fear that the next person would grab the gun that was available underneath the glass before you, if they had a number before you.
What were the demographics like of the people that you saw at these places?
The majority of people that I saw were Caucasian. I did not see any African Americans whatsoever. Maybe one or two African Americans that were shopping for their children, but not in the gun section at all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and not even Hispanic. I did not see any Hispanic. It's mainly Caucasian.
When I was at the one of those big places, I can't remember if it was Cabela's or Bass Pro, I did see a woman in a wheelchair.
Huh.
I think maybe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Helping her pick out a firearm, and I couldn't think of a better thing for somebody in a wheelchair to do if they lived.
Yeah. To me, I think it was mainly men, but I did see some women. Like I said, I saw the 70-year-old woman. And she was picking up a pretty big firearm. I mean, it was a concealed carry, you could tell. And I just wonder if the drop in crime is due to the increase in purchases of guns that criminals understand. I'm sure criminals are aware that more and more people are getting concealed carries.
Right.
And also just the mere fact that they're purchasing guns.
Have you ever had a chance to look at this Keep and Bear Arms site?
No.
It's keepandbeararms.com. And what they do is they keep track of all of these particular if you got a second, I'm going to pull the thing up. It's interesting, but they keep track of all of these
I would think that this would be sending a message to the Obama administration, a clear message when you're almost up to 50% over what they've sold in the past years. Are we still there?
But anyway, I mean, you go to the site, if you roll all the way down, there's news story after news story after news story. I mean, just literally scores of them. But when you go on down there, they have a section that lists all of the self-defense by day, the latest armed self-defense stories. Titles, I won't even open them, but titles such as Clerk Shoots Would-Be Robber in Halifax County, Virginia. Robbery Suspect Shot, Killed in East Atlanta. One Arrested Still Sought in a Would-Be Robbery. Store Clerk Fights Back Against Armed Men. Police, Man Shoots Kills Suspect in Hammond Robbery Attempt. And man shoots, kills armed robber at car wash. 87-year-old woman scares man away with firearm. It's amazing. And have you seen that story of that woman?
No.
Yeah, she. I think that's, I won't open it, but I think that's a deal where she actually pulls out a shotgun and sends him running. He gets the idea.
Yeah.
In an apartment shootout, that's in Ohio. Woman shoots large raccoon attacking a dog. Interesting. 70-year-old Indiana woman holds burglar at gunpoint until they come for her. And it's just one story right after the other. This site keeps track of all those stories. So people that say, well, you know, you're never going to use this for self-defense, they don't know. And, of course, last week, in the last 2 weeks, we really talked a lot about John Lott's book, More Guns, Less Crime, and, you know, he's done the most massive study ever done, and he came to our town to talk about, you know, the right to carry laws, and the more right to carry licenses you get, the more crime goes down, and that continues to occur.
Mm-hmm.
So no doubt that this has a lot to do, and, you know, isn't it common sense? When you sit and have a conversation with someone that's even way over on the other side, eventually they begin to see this idea that, you know, these are not people that are dangerous to us. Now, do people have accidents with guns? Of course they do.
Sure.
But do they have accidents with cars?
Well, you know, and that's a nice that you brought that up there, Keith, because I don't know if you know this, but in the United States there's a shortage on salt for the roads. And, I mean, I drive quite a bit. And I'm letting you know, I don't know if people know this or not out there, but and rather than emphasize trying to take people's guns away, I think I might concentrate on trying to put some salt on the roads. Do you realize that I've driven probably over 300 miles in the last week on Ohio roadways, and none of the roads were salted. Do you know why? There's a shortage of salt in the entire nation.
I didn't know that.
I teach, and I actually have the lady that is responsible, the executive director over the, I don't know what you call the division, but over all the salt supplies for Ohio. And she was saying it's a supply and demand issue.
Well,
they're not salting. City, I don't want to name them, but one city was just saying that they simply do not have salt, and if they did, they can't afford it.
Huh.
So they're not laying down anything. And I don't know if you've realized that I literally saw last night 25 cars and trucks in the ditches. 25 cars and trucks. I counted that many.
We had one last week in this county where I live, where the woman was from this town. She slid off the road, I guess, early. I don't know if she's going to work or what, and hit a tree and was killed. Mm. And a state patrolman was off duty going home from work.
Mm-hmm.
And called the car and went over and found her dead.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there should be some legislation. Or, no, I'm not into the legislation. I think that government should stay off our backs, to be honest with you. But the bottom line is I think maybe some emphasis should be placed on, I know we have a big problem here with global warming, and that's probably why we have all this snow right now. But
yeah.
Could I put in an advertisement for myself?
Yeah.
If anybody gets a chance, I have a couple of little videos. If you go into Google videos, I'm under Planet Polluter, and they have little interesting stories on there about little things about planet polluting.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a movement that certainly needs more support.
Yeah.
You know, it may be 14 below here tonight, but, you know, really, we could have it cooler, I think, or warmer. That's whichever way we want to go.
Do you think there's a conspiracy here with the government holding back on the salt supply?
I have no idea. But whatever happened to the idea of putting sand on some of this ice, isn't that?
Yeah, or even coals. I think in Pittsburgh they used to do coal.
Is that right?
Huh. That's what I understand.
Yeah,
cinders.
They use salt a lot. So a couple of these other stories, headlines are interesting. Dog walker shoots an armed teen robber.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen my book, Liberty and Guns for All, but I start off and they're talking about some guy I knew went to school with, and he was killed in the streets of Springfield, Ohio, by three muggers.
Mm-hmm.
Who death, and I think he died in the hospital the next day, and he was out jogging, exercising, something he'd done many times. And, you know, here's a case where even if they were unarmed, even if he'd had a taser, but certainly had he pulled out a small firearm, they would have taken off. And that's what happens 99% of the time. There are no shots fired.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's the other thing, too, Keith. I'm a teacher, and I teach in such cities as Cincinnati and Columbus. And I don't know if you know this. I know you know it because you're in criminal justice, but the bottom line is even in the Cincinnati jails, prisons, they have decided that they just simply cannot afford to keep the prisoners. Did you know that your listeners, do they know that they're releasing prisoners in Michigan and in Cincinnati? So crime is definitely going to go up with these prisoners getting out of jail.
Well, you know, the first thing that happens, it hasn't happened that often in our history, but as soon as the prisons get full, the next thing they talk about is letting them go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how bad it can get before it turns around, and literally turned around in Texas. When I moved to Texas, a prisoner was doing 22 days on a year.
Mm.
In other words, if I got 3 years, I did 66 days.
Mm-hmm.
And they would actually leave the prison and sue the state because they had started working on their teeth in prison, and then they got out 50 days later.
Mm.
Didn't finish the dental work.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to reduce their costs, I guess. The prisons, the governments are trying to reduce their costs on these prisoners, so they're releasing them. I guess maybe there'll be a lot more shootings now. So either way, we do get rid of the criminals.
I could recommend a consultant for them to all the state prison systems, and I think Sheriff Arpaio in Phoenix could certainly help, couldn't he, in Maricopa County?
Yeah, he's the one that dresses them in pink and puts them under tents, isn't he?
Tents, right.
Yeah, and feeds them, bread and water, I think, isn't it?
Right. I lived in those in the Marine Corps. Quonset huts would be quite adequate. They're warm.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to spend all that money on those facilities. And I like the idea of exporting them, too. You know?
Yeah.
We could take some place like, we're having Haiti's having trouble. Make it the prison capital of the world.
There you go. Or Vermont. What's wrong with Vermont and Delaware?
Well, there's a lot of room in Vermont.
Yeah.
And
Delaware, I'd like to see Joe Biden's state get a few of the criminals. I think we ought to be shipping a few up there just to be diverse and fair.
Let me ask you about one more thing here that you probably know about. Kennesaw, Georgia, back in the 1980s, passed a law that all residents have to have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And their homicide rate is non-existent.
Yeah, what state is that?
Kennesaw, Georgia. Yeah.
Georgia, uh-huh.
Yeah, really don't enforce it because the chief says, we're not going to go around and, literally check houses to make sure that everybody has a firearm. But the word got out, and their crime dropped down to the point where it's negligible.
Mm.
I haven't looked. I'm going to look here when our show is off. But that's an interesting idea, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Let's make sure that every home has a firearm. And I think that is the case in Switzerland, that you have to own a gun.
Well, it's actually pretty interesting going through the class. You learn a lot.
Yeah, tell me about that real quick. What's the most significant thing you found out about?
Well, one of the things, is that I found out that Governor Strickland loosened the strict rules of, remember when you used to have to make certain that if you shot the criminal when they came in your house, you had to shoot them and make sure they fell inside your house and everything else. I guess he's just loosened up the law. But he understands. He was a psychologist in the prison system.
Yes.
And that's what I learned about that. And just they actually have to put you through, you actually have to fire your firearm. You have to practice with it several times. They put you through about 2 hours on the range. You actually have to fire the thing. Now, this is good and handy for me because, like I say, I've never fired a firearm before.
Yeah.
And so it was nice practice. We went over the laws, and it was just very educational as to, basically, and I'm hoping some criminals are listening to your program, because basically, if you pull the gun, you better shoot to kill, because you certainly don't want the criminal around to be able to sue you.
Right.
So if you're going to pull it, don't, that's the one thing I learned. If you're going to pull it, then don't be waving it around trying to threaten them. You better if you're going to pull it, you better shoot it.
Yeah, if they're threatening you, that's for sure. And,
I don't know. Have you ever seen the damage of a .357 bullet?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Have you ever seen the damage of a Taurus Judge?
I hear those are hard to come by.
Look on the Taurus website, and they have a very nice thing on them. They claim it's an ideal weapon for the protection of your vehicle.
Yeah.
It will shoot across your car and pick up the carjacker, 3 or 4 feet outside your car, and you don't have to wait 15, 25, 50 feet for the shot to expand. It gets real big real quick. Yeah, the Taurus Judge also shoots shotgun shells, but it also shoots 45 caliber shells, which makes it legal. Anyway, it's just fascinating. What I'm thinking here, you as a new gun owner, everybody, with all these guns going up, I wonder if there's room in the business for new shooting ranges.
Well, I want to join one. That's what I've been looking for, and I'm going to join one.
Yeah, I think that's, there are various clubs around. In fact, I was a speaker once at one in down around Middletown. When I was studying the Minutemen and doing some writing about them. And I went down there. In fact, the sheriff of that county, Butler County, was also a speaker that night. And they had, an outdoor gun range. It's a club, that type of thing. So I think there's probably a business open there. Some of these are pretty chic places around the country, depending where you are. you know, their cappuccino bars and that type of thing. Drink a little cappuccino and then go do some gun shooting at the same time. not alcohol. No alcohol,
no.
Sir.
No.
Well, look, Rick, I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight. This is very informative for particularly for new folks who are thinking about going out and getting a firearm. This would be very helpful to them in terms of what you experienced and as a new person to the gun world, and also the locations and venues where you shop. Can I ask you this? Do some of those big places you went to, they don't have ranges, do they? Or do they?
I think they might. I just don't know where they were at. I thought that they might have it, but I didn't. I'm not sure.
I'm wondering if a lot of people avoid that business because of liability types of issues.
Could be. I suppose if you have a lot of guns in your places, you got a lot of liability in there, you know. But they're not loaded, you know.
Back in a former life, I pay tribute to Bill Rhodes all the time, but Bill was the director of the firearms for the Peace Officer Training Academy in London, Ohio. And in the history of the academy, they'd never had a firearms accident. Isn't that incredible?
Unbelievable.
And then in these other academies around various parts of the states, that was not the case. But he was super insistent on the idea of gun safety. So that was good. He claims, or people claim that he's the guy that invented the silhouette target.
Is that right?
He said he laid down in the 1960s. He's with the Franklin County Sheriff's Department and laid down there and had somebody draw his silhouette on butcher paper. And he said the bullseyes were stupid. That isn't what you shoot at.
Right.
did that. Well, Rick, thank you very much for joining us tonight. This is going to be very enjoyable for people that want to replay our show. And you have a good evening tonight, and stay warm with your family there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that takes our time tonight. We're going to go ahead and have Vera Lynn take us off the show, and I'm sure we'll meet again. Look on the show billboard to see what we're going to do next week.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away.